Amen. Well, again, welcome. So glad that you're here. I'm Travis, and I hope you've been enjoying and being blessed by the series that we've been in called Stages. And in this series, we are hitting different stages of life. And the stages that we talk about may be a stage that you're in. It may be a future stage for you, a stage that you've passed, or maybe a stage that you will never enter. But I believe that there is something for you in each of these messages. If you are in the stage that we're talking about, there will be plenty, hopefully, of truth for you to apply to the season of life that you're in. If it's a future stage, you can begin to learn and begin to change and get ready now for those stages. If it is a past stage or perhaps a stage that you won't be entering in, it's a way that we can learn about people that are in those stages so that as a family, we can be a blessing to those people. So we're believing that God has been speaking to each and every one of us, whatever the stage that we are in happens to be and how that relates to the stage that we're talking about. But we really believe that the heart of God in this series is that we would be a church who, as we represent different generations in the room, that we would be a church who sees our generations marked with the purposes of God. It was said of King David, who was one of the greatest kings of all Israel, the greatest king of Israel that ever sat on the throne of Israel. He was said to have been a man who saw his generation, the purposes of God, fulfilled in his generation. The purposes of God were fulfilled in his generation. And at the heart of these teachings is that we would be a people that could be said of our lives. That the purposes of God in my generation were fulfilled. And I had a role to play in that. I had a role, I had a purpose to play. And to do that, we want to look at the different stages of life and kind of break it down a little bit. So that we're not just saying life in general, we want to see the purposes of God come. But in every stage that I'm in, I want to see the purposes of God come by applying biblical truth to that stage of my life. So tonight we are going to be talking on the second part of parenting. All right, and I hope you were blessed last week, parents and non-parents alike. We looked at the parenting mirror. And one thing that I believe that parenting does is it is just your kids can become a mirror right in front of you, often displaying some of your own personal traits and flaws, and they're in full display in your child. And so you are humbled by that. I have many times fallen on my face before the parenting mirror as I've seen my kids have attitudes that they've seen in me that are not good, as they've had responses and I can hear the tone that I've used, and I fall on my face before this parenting mirror and say, God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. These little kids are like sponges soaking up everything that I do and say, and I want to reflect you. I want them to see the father heart of God in me, and you've got to help me. It is only by your grace. I don't want them to have to go through a bunch of junk to figure out, wait, God is a father, but my dad was like this. Is God like that? No, I want to display it now as best I can by his grace. And so that mirror is just in your face as a parent, and it's good. It brings us to our knees. This week, we're going to get a little more practical. We're going to go beyond who we want to be, because we know that as a parent, or as anyone else who is modeling life, values are not just taught, but they are caught. That was kind of the principle of last week. Values aren't something that you just teach, but people catch them. They see them, and then they say, oh, that's what you mean by when you said this, because they see it in your life. And so this week, we want to get practical. What does that look like? And for this second week, we're going to focus in on the area of nurturing, training, and disciplining. In any kind of parenting conference I've been in, or session, or teaching, or retreat, this is what it comes down to. What does it look like in the day-to-day in terms of nurturing, training, and disciplining? And we're going to kind of wrap it all up in this phrase, disciplining, as we look here in a moment at Hebrews 12. But when I was a kid, it was never a good sign when my dad started through this motion. This might be a little awkward in church. But this was not good. Not good. That didn't happen when I planned that out. I actually practiced that. So that was never a good sign. So if I had been talking back to my mom, or if I had done something I knew I wasn't supposed to be, and the hand went in this general direction, and I started hearing that little jingling sound, it was not good. And there were all kind of methods that I tried. There was running, just the pure escape method. That did never work. And it's funny now as a parent, as kids will just try anything to get out of trouble. There was the try to play it cool as if it's going to happen a little bit later, like maybe they'll just forget. It'll blow over. I'll be super nice. They just won't remember at all. There was the padding the pants with socks like that wasn't going to be noticeable. I mean, anything that you would try to get out of this discipline that was coming your way. And so that was not ever pleasant as a kid. And yet, as I look back on it, though my parents were not perfect, and though I know that this kind of method of disciplining is sometimes looked down upon, and partially because sometimes it's just flat out not done right. There is anger involved. There it becomes violent, and all these types of things. And we'll get into that a little bit. But in my home, I in the long run appreciated it. Wasn't done perfectly, but I grew up in a home that was very nurturing. I knew that I was loved, supported, that my parents got behind me, they believed in me. And so it was, for me, something in my home that was a very, was not rare, we'll say that. It was not a rare occasion that this would happen with two boys running around, and it was not a rare occasion. But my parents did it in a loving way. But here's the thing, and partially why I bring that up, because we all have different experiences. Your parents may have been on the flip end, they may have been to the extreme, on whatever it was. And here's the mistake that we as parents make all too often. And it can go one of two ways. First off, well, I turned out all right, so I'll just parent like my parents did. You know, a little pride mixed in there. But you're like, I turned out okay. I mean, I'm making it. I'll try to just kind of model whatever my parents did. The other extreme would be, I am never doing it like my parents did. I will never do that. You will never see me even come close to talking like that or saying that or treating my kids in that way. It's just not going to happen. And oftentimes those people actually do that because it's hard not to do it like you've been trained, like you saw it done. But that's the kind of extremes that we go to, and neither one of them are correct. It is very much the tendency of like, okay, yeah, that is, I'm going to do one way or another based on what my parents did. But what we have to do as parents is come back to the center and make God's word our standard. This is our standard. It is not what our parents did or didn't do and how we are going to parent, but it is what does God say about parenting? And his word is more than sufficient to describe to us and lead us in the way of parenting. There may not be a lot of specifics or explicits on, okay, this is the chapter on exactly how you parent and the steps and how to do it. But what we gather from God's word is God's heart. We gather from his word his heart. He describes himself as a father. We are the children. And so there is a lot that we can glean from his word and from his character that describes to us, that paints a picture of what it looks like for us to then be the fathers, the mothers, the parents that can then guide, discipline, nurture, train their own kids. So we're going to turn this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. And our desire in this is that God would be central, that his word would be the safeguard for us as parents, and that the gospel would always come into full view. The gospel has a lot to do with how we parent. But turn with me to Hebrews 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 5 and go through verse 11. Hebrews 12. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And the first thing that I want to take note of in this passage is the relationship. The relationship of God as Father and us as his sons and daughters. Now, the role of a father is one that carries authority. God is not only known as a father, he's known as king, as almighty, as creator. He is known as an authority. For people of ancient times, that's easy to understand about a picture of God. Oh yes, God is an authority, that is clear. However, when you read the Old Testament and study other ancient Near Eastern cultures that would have been in place in this day, what you will find is that there are many gods that people professed and worshiped. And all of those gods were given authority. However, there was no other god who was known as a benevolent god, as a god who was kind, as a god who pursued people. All other gods had demands, and they were required to do all these sacrifices. They were always at a distance. They operated by punishment. They were not gods who would ever draw anyone near. That's not what a god would do. But the God that we serve revealed himself as Father, as an intimate authority. He revealed himself throughout Scripture as a kind authority, a good king, who is for us and not against us. That is the God that we serve. And we've got to know that. As people in the room and as parents in the room, this is what we are modeling. Because it's so important for parents to realize the importance of authority. Because we have parents on different sides of the spectrum. Once again, parents that just want to be buddy-buddy with their kids. Want to be on the up and up with them. Want to be cool. Want to hang out. Want them to like them. And they go that route. Not knowing that kids actually, they really want authority. There is a need for authority in kids' lives. On the other end, obviously you can go to the extreme, more dictatorial, authoritarian, where it is all about me and what I say goes, and there is no understanding, there is no compassion. And so in the heart of God, what we find is an authority that is kind. An authority that by all means, he is our authority. And we want to honor him and respect him for who he is. But we can come to him. We can come to him. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to hide our face. He is a God that we can come to because he is kind. Biblical parenting involves being a kind authority. Being one who shepherds. We see God as the great shepherd, the good shepherd, who shepherds his people. He guides them. He talks to them. He cares about them. He speaks to them. And so parenting is about being a shepherd. And specifically when we think about shepherding and when we think about our kids, when we think about the scope of disciplining, we think about the heart. Now this comes up in 90% of the messages that we talk about in here, I feel like, because God is after our hearts. Everything that we read in Scripture that we think about, it is not about surface level things. It is not about action that we took or that we didn't take. It is about God getting to the root issues of our heart. And so it is with parenting. We're not out to try to make our kids look a certain way. We're after their hearts. Because God is after their hearts, and God has given us these kids so that we can go after their hearts on his behalf and along with him. So the purpose of this authority that we've been given in the lives of our children is not to hold them under our power, yet it is to empower them to live self-controlled lives under the authority of God. We are teaching them, and I am motivated by this. I want to teach them to live under authority because they will always be living under authority. Some of us in the room have still not learned to live under the authority of God. though he is kind, though he is good, though he is compassionate, though he is merciful, though he has loved us all our days, we still have this tendency to want to buck his authority at times because we still haven't learned to live under his authority, that his authority is good, that it is a covering for our good, that we will thrive, that it will empower us to live the lives that we were created to live. And I want my kids to learn that. I want them to know that authority is good, that authority is there to cover them, to protect them, to bless them so that they can thrive. And so that when they begin walking with God in greater ways, they will understand that about God's heart for them. That yes, he is an authority, but authority is good. Oh, it's good. God is kind. I'm going to be able to thrive in God. I'm going to be able to flourish in his authority because of who he is. And I want them to learn that in our homes. Don't be afraid to be authority and authority. Don't be afraid of the word authority. But learn from God how to do it, to be an authority in your kids' lives that is compassionate and kind. The first five verses here really are speaking to God's Father heart in the area of discipline and really challenging us to enjoy it, to embrace it, embrace his authority, and embrace his discipline. Because he disciplines those he loves. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Take heart. God disciplines you. He brings you through challenges. And his discipline is so multifaceted and so varied, I can't even describe it to you. But I know that when he disciplines us, and he makes it clear that he does discipline us because he loves us, it is for our good. And we want to embrace it. Beyond that, verse 9 challenges us to submit to God so that we will live. The embracing of authority is submitting to authority. Another word that sometimes we don't like, this word submitting. It feels like we're being pressured. It feels like we're being squashed. But when we submit to the authority of God, we live. We find life. It is when we are coming out from under his authority and trying things on our own and going our own way is when we experience things that are less than life-giving. But God in his benevolence leads us to submit to his authority because he wants to lead us to life. He's a good father. Sometimes we think of ourselves as know-it-alls. Oh, I can figure that out. I know how to do that. I'll make my own way. But really, we're more like a 3-year-old who runs after a ball in the street. And the dad is saying, hey, stop, come back, stop. But if we're like, no, I got this one figured out. I got this one figured out, and all of a sudden there's a car screeching our way and we're terrified. That's more like me and you, okay? We're not like the sophisticated person checking both ways and I got this figured out, I'll do this deliberately. We feel like that sometimes, but we're more like the 3-year-old. And that's why we can learn so much from parenting. And from learning what is God's heart for us as we practically try to apply it to our natural children, and then us realizing, wow, that's how God treats me. That's the way God loves me. That's the way he protects me. That's why he speaks. That's why he gives me boundaries, because it's for my good. He doesn't want me running in the street. And that's his heart for us. Verse 10. This is getting even deeper into his heart of why God disciplines us. Our earthly fathers and mothers, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Now, in the Bible, we have been commanded to be holy as he is holy. Peter talks to us about that. And God would be remiss if he didn't discipline us. Because it is his discipline that leads us and shows us the way to holiness. That's how we get there. And so if he wants holiness from us, he says, hey, I want you to be holy as I'm holy, but he doesn't discipline us, then he is not doing us a service. He is really leaving us hanging to try to figure out how to be holy on our own, and we already know we can't do that. We just can't. But by his discipline and by submitting to his discipline and his authority, we become more like him because he is holy. And so God is motivated. I want them to be holy as I am holy. I want them to experience life as I've experienced life. So I'm going to set up this process called discipline so they will find me. We see it with his people, Israel, throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes he would allow things to happen. He would set things up in such a way where it looked like, man, that's a terrible thing to have to happen to this nation. But we see God's heart behind it, and he speaks about it, of how he allows these things to happen. And it's like his heart is that they would come back to me. Yeah, this is going to hurt them. They're going to be crushed, but I want them to come back to me. I've got to get their hearts. I want them back. And that is God's heart for every single one of us in this room as his children. He will spare no expense. He will stop at no cost to get us back, to have our hearts, so that we might find life. It's similar with our kids. The first command with the promise comes from the Ten Commandments, we're told. And it's to children. Children, honor your mother and father. Honor your father and mother, and things will go well with you. I will extend your days. It's the first command with the promise. And so, parents, on this subject of authority, we have a responsibility, a God-given responsibility, to expect our kids to obey. They have been given a command from God to obey, to honor their mother and father, to obey them, to come under their authority. And you know what? Kids don't do that on their own, all right? They don't just come out of the womb. They don't start sitting up out of the crib and just saying, how can I obey you, mom and dad? It would be my delight to just do whatever you want me to do today. That doesn't happen. That's not the way it goes. And so we actually have a responsibility to teach them how to do that. They have been given a command. Honor your father and mother. So we have a responsibility to teach them how to honor, how to obey their father and mother. So we have, and we will do them a disservice if we don't do that. We will not be empowering them to obey then God if we do not take the responsibility to teach them how to honor, how to obey, how to respect. So it is a responsibility that as parents we've been given by God. Now verse 11, I've used verse 11 on tons of things. Verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I remember I put this on my marathon training schedule. I was like, okay, I've got to meditate on this verse because I felt like God had challenged me to run a marathon, and I didn't like to run. I still don't like to run. And so I was in this training process and just having to remember this, that no discipline seems pleasant at the time. And so when we think about discipline, obviously there's one way to look at it is that we discipline our lives. And we want to order our lives and structure them in a disciplined way. However, with this marathon analogy, it was actually in some ways the discipline of the Lord for my life. No one would have ever been accusing me of being overly diligent or super scheduled or anal in that way at any rate. And in fact, it was the opposite. I was finding as I was growing up that I could be rather lazy. What I always termed as laid back was easily termed by others, particularly my wife, as lazy. And I was beginning to learn this, that there was things that I was wanting to do, things I was wanting to do for God. But my life wasn't disciplined. And so God, I felt very clearly, challenged me to do a marathon. And it was like his discipline. I am going to train you. I'm going to discipline you and make you run 26.2 miles. And it was the discipline of the Lord. And it bore fruit. It really did. I learned so much about that. And I feel like God was just training me in this process. And so this is a verse that I tell myself often. And I tell my kids often. Hey, discipline is not ever pleasant at the time. In fact, it can be downright painful. But it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. And I remind myself of that because I'm about to take us through what we as parents do, kind of a vulnerable thing, because there's all kinds of different opinions on what it looks like to discipline kids. And I'm just I feel like God said, just put yourself out there, and I'm going to tell you what we do based on what we have found in studying the Word of God and looking to other God-centered families and people that we look up to. So I'm going to take you through that, but this is kind of the heart of it. And this is why I remind myself frequently, because it's not easy. Really, disciplining in the right way is not easy. It takes a lot of energy, and it takes keeping your heart in the right place. And so I remind myself of this, that it will produce a harvest of righteousness in this little girl that I love, that I care so much about. It is going to produce a harvest of righteousness in her and peace. It is, and I believe that. And so I tell myself that, and I'll often tell my kids that as well. Though we don't have a lot of specifics on what it looks like as parents to discipline, the specifics that we do have come from the book of Proverbs. And it really just comes in snapshots of different phrases and sayings that they shared in Proverbs. And there's many, many of them throughout the scripture. I'm going to read one of them, and it's Proverbs 13:24. It says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." So here we see, and we see again many passages that are even stronger than this one, even though this one's pretty strong in itself. It talks about the rod and discipline together. And so again, I know there are many methods and ways that people train and discipline their children, but the way that we have found, and I don't know how else to speak about it, but to speak with conviction, and yet know that there is grace and humility coming from me as well. All right, so there that is. All right, so here we go. So that's what we do. We use the rod. It's actually a little thing we bought. It's called the rod. Okay, it's just a little. Just so you know, it's just a little strap of leather, because it's really flexible and can sting but not leave any bruises, anything like that. All right. So that's what we have. And I want to explain to you the process, not just for practical sake, though I hope that it helps some of you practically if you're just in a place of wondering what that looks like or how to actually do this. But for me, this process of discipline is one of the most intimate things that I've experienced as a father. It really is. This process of disciplining my kids out of a heart of love and compassion for them is one of the most intimate things that I've done as a father. And so here's what we'll do. We'll just take the example of disobedience. Now, first of all, we want to make sure that it's very clear. And so we set our boundaries out, that our kids, we try to make it as clear as possible. If anything's ever murky, we won't discipline over that. We'll sit them down and we'll talk through and make it clear so that next time they could be disciplined. So we want to make sure everything is clear. And in the process, we also want to train. So it's not just figure out how to do it right next time. We will train them, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But so when something very clear happens, there's very clear, in this instance, we'll say disobedience. This is the process that we go through. I'll take the child to a separate room, and they know they've disobeyed, and they know what's about to happen. So we'll take them to the room, and I'll sit down, and I'll sit my child down on my lap. And usually we begin with something like, "Daddy loves you." And that's where it starts. Daddy loves you. You know Daddy loves you. Why does Daddy discipline you? Because he loves you. How much does Daddy love you? This much. You know, we do all these things, and they know, and they could quote this all verbatim to you, probably. But we talk through this, and I'm affirming of their love. Now, sometimes they're already getting upset and all that kind of thing, depending on what's happened. But I affirm to them my love. And the reason that I'm disciplining is because I love them. And we'll talk about the issue a little bit, about what happened. Did Daddy ask you to do this? Yes. And did you do that, or did you keep doing what you wanted to do? I just kept doing whatever it was that I was doing. And I said, and you know that when you disobey, we have to be disciplined, okay? And they know they have to be disciplined. And so then what I'll do is that I lay them over my lap, and I'll discipline them, and they will cry. Obviously, that's kind of the point. They cry, and this is one of, again, my favorite moments as a parent, because what they do is that they immediately crawl up out of my lap and just latch onto me, squeezing my neck, and they're crying. And I have disciplined, but then I love. I embrace, I pull them near, and I just hold them tight for as long as they're crying. And I just am saying, it's okay. You're going to be okay. Is it feeling better now? I know that didn't feel good. You're going to be okay. Daddy loves you so much. You're okay. And so we'll do this. And they're embracing me. Never once have I had a kid push me away or say, no, I don't want to do that or whatever. We're embracing. That's what they know is coming next, that they have to be disciplined because of what they did. But Daddy loves them. And they're not going anywhere. They're coming right here. And so after they finish crying, I'll sit them back down in my lap, and we begin to go through the gospel every time. So that's why this is not a slap on the rear as they're going or something. This is a process. So we are given to this thing. And so we'll sit them back down on our laps, and we'll say, hey, I'll say the same thing again. Hey, why is Daddy disciplining? Daddy disciplines you, love you. It makes Daddy sad to see you sad. I don't want to, but I do it because I love you. And then I'll say something like, what is it when we disobey? What is that? That's sin. And again, we'll do fill in the blank, or they can start saying it or whatever. And sin separates us from God. And we don't want to be separated from God. And God doesn't want to be separated from us. He wants to be close to us, and we want to be close to him. And thank you, God, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. That Jesus was perfect, but he took our sin so that we could be close to God again. So let's pray and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin. And so we'll pray, and depending on their age, we'll pray for them, or we'll have them repeat after us. Our couple older ones now can pray on their own, and they will do just, I mean, very simple, obviously. Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me. And then also they'll go into, and will you help me to obey next time? Or help me not to hit my sister, or help me to have a better attitude, or help me to whatever the thing is, okay? And so we'll pray, and then we'll say, then we start celebrating, all right? Then we start saying, yes, Jesus forgives you, mommy and daddy forgive you, now you are, and this is the motion, free. You're free. And we get them to shout that. They're supposed to shout that. You're free, I'm free, you know? And so, and then they're done. Then it's over. They really are free. We're not holding that over their head. We're not saying, remember last time, or remember when you hit your sister, remember? No, it's done. It's dealt with. We draw them near. We deal with it. And then they're free. They're free to go. And the relationship with mom and dad, it's great. We're good. We've dealt with it. We love each other. We're moving forward. It's forgotten. They are free. Okay? Sometimes before they fully go, we'll do some kind of training games, okay? So like if they're real little, it's like they just need to learn to come, and we're really practicing on just come, because again, there's practical things going on here as well. Like the street analogy from earlier is very practical. Okay, when you hear Daddy say come, you stop and you come. All right? And for some reason, when you're doing like it in training games, they love that. They'll come all day long, or go get this, and you celebrate. Okay, you start walking. When Daddy calls your name, you turn around. And when I say come, you come over here, and they just love that, right? And so you practice it, and like, hey, so that's what you need to do. When Daddy says come, or when Daddy says don't touch that electrical outlet, or whatever it is, like you obey. We're learning here. And so I'm motivated by some of those practical things. I'm motivated because I know that they have been charged to obey and honor their mother and father. And I am especially motivated because I want them to learn to obey God. I really want them to learn to obey God. I still struggle with that so much, just trusting and obeying, but I want to teach them to obey. I want them to begin to learn what it looks like to obey. And so they've already started the hearing God's voice, and when we're teaching and training how to do that, and so we want them to learn to hear God's voice so that they can learn to then obey him, to obey him. I'm so motivated by that. I don't want them getting off the path and experiencing some of the junk that us in this room have had to experience because we've turned our back on God. I don't want them to have to go through that. So I'm searching the scriptures saying, God, how can I nurture, train, and discipline my kids to learn how to love and trust and obey you? And I'm motivated to do it. And I want to do it better. And I'm not saying I have it all figured out, but what I'm trying to do is take from God's heart, take from the teachings of Scripture, and then apply them to parenting. All right? Because I want to do it like God does it. Not like any other book that you've read or whatever. I want to learn how to do it like God does it. Now, I'm not saying I've used other resources, but this has to be our plumb line so that we know what we're reading when we go and read other books, okay? And so we want to do that, but let me just give you one example of why we've chosen to do it this way. Another fairly often used method of disciplining, and this is not an indictment. I don't mean for it to be, but this is just, I want to help show you the thought process behind it. So another method would be timeouts. I understand timeouts can be useful, and sometimes you obviously, if you're watching other kids or whatever, you're not going to be disciplining them, you know. That's not how that works, right? So you're disciplining your own kids. But so timeout, those kind of things can be used, and it's not going to be detrimental to the kid. But here's why we've chosen not to do, for instance, timeouts. In a timeout, the gist behind it, and you can come talk to me afterwards if there's other gists that you've learned about that are effective, and that's fine. But this is just my thinking on it, and I submit to you. That when you do timeout, it's like, okay, you go over there, and you think about it. You figure it out, and then you come back to me, and when the beeper goes off, or when you figured it out, or whatever. So a couple of things that don't set well with me when I think about how God deals with us. First of all, God never sends us away. That's just not how he deals with us. Some of us feel that maybe at times, and that's where you need to have the revelation tonight that God is always a God who pursues and draws you near. He is never a God who sends you away. He doesn't do it. And so with our kids, we're not going to send them away. We're always going to embrace them. It would be a lot easier to send them away because I just described about a 5-minute process. You know, we can speed it up sometimes, but a process that we go through. And sometimes I just don't want to go through it. So it'd be easier to just go think about that. You go to your room. But the other thing is they're kids. And so I don't want them to have to figure it out. I want to help them figure it out. That's my thought. And I know sometimes maybe you talk about it afterwards, but that's kind of some of the thinking. Just how does God do it with us? He draws us near. He addresses the issues. He remains the authority. He's not sidestepping issues. He addresses them. There is discipline that looks different. I don't even know. I really don't understand how his discipline works. Sometimes I don't even maybe know that it's happening. I don't understand it. But I know that he disciplines us. And then we're free. There is no dividing wall. There is no invisible line that we're not supposed to cross and get too close to him because maybe he's mad at us. We've dealt with it. We've been honest with him, and he has loved us. He continues to pursue us. And so I just love it. I really do. I love this area of disciplining because I feel like it is an opportunity for me to express my heart to my kids, to express God's heart of love, of nurturing, of training, of disciplining. The central focus is the gospel. It is God's heart to be close to us. Our goal is not simply well-behaved children. That's not our goal for our little kids. Our goal is that their heart would be won by Jesus. Their hearts would be protected. The Bible tells us that the heart is the wellspring of life. The Bible also says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above anything else. And so we've got to guard our kids' hearts. We've got to war for them. We've got to shepherd their hearts, teach, train, and discipline so that they will follow God with all their hearts. In the same way, God is warring for each of our hearts. And as we take some time to respond to God, for some parents in the room, there may be some particulars that God is bringing up in your mind. There may be some things where God is wanting to challenge you and say, okay, I want to parent better. I want to center my parenting around the gospel and around God's heart and how God treats us as his children. I want to learn. I want to grow. And so I hope that there are some practical things that God is speaking to you about. And for every single one of us here, there is a place for us to re-up in our response to God as children. Not pushing him away. Not acting like, oh, God is pushing me away. Not being in rebellion against his authority, but recognizing again this evening that God is good, that he is a father who pursues us, he is a kind authority. And if you feel like you're going through trial, or you feel like you are feeling or sensing the discipline of God, be reminded tonight that God absolutely loves and adores those that he disciplines. From what I've understood of how God loves those who he disciplines, it has really informed my parenting in that if I take a break on parenting, or if I'm just tired, or if I just don't want to do it, and I'm just lax in it, I realize I'm not really loving my kids well. To let them be bratty, to let them have bad attitudes. It's so sad to me when somebody's having a bad attitude and it's like a special day for them and they can't get out of this funk. I want to teach them that you can have a happy heart. You can enjoy. We have everything to be hopeful about, and so we're teaching, training. Maybe some of those things we need to learn as well. What does it look like for me to have a happy heart, God? What does it look like for me to obey? I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to be pretentious. I don't want to be prideful. And so, God, we just come to you. As little three-year-old children, toddling up to your lap, trusting you, loving you because you've loved us, receiving your discipline, receiving your authority. Thank you, God. Let's all stand together, and as we stand, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. And if there's anything that you need prayer for, if you're a parent in the room and you just want a prayer of blessing as you take on this endeavor of raising kids, and it is not easy, and you're in the throes of it, and you feel discouraged, or you feel beaten down, just come and receive prayer if that's what you need. For some of the others in the room, you may need to come and receive prayer because of ways that your view of God has been tainted by maybe the way that you were raised. A way that discipline was structured in your home, or a father or mother that was absent, that has really tainted your view of God. It has caused you to shy away. It's caused you to keep it an arm's distance. Maybe you need to come and just receive prayer tonight, or maybe you just need to come and get on your knees and be before God tonight and receive from him a revelation of his goodness, of his grace, of the way he's been pursuing you and drawing near. But in whatever ways we need to respond to God today, let's not leave this place without doing it. So Lord, we just invite you. We thank you that you are speaking to us, and we want to respond to you. Thank you, Lord.